Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and since the crash of the economy in 2008, New York City has tended to outperform the rest of the country in terms of employment. But a report yesterday shows that the city's jobless rate has risen as that of the rest of the country continues to fall. New York is at 9% unemployment now, the country at 8.5%. And, of course, we have to look not at just the numbers of jobs, but the quality of employment. Last week, the City Council announced a deal on the long-negotiated living wage bill. Council Speaker Christine Quinn is counting the compromise as a major accomplishment, but the bill is just that, a compromise. Let's discuss mandated wages and other City Council matters now with Letitia James, who represents Clinton Hill, Fort Greene, parts of Crown Heights, Prospect Heights, and Bedford-Stuyvesant in Brooklyn. Councilwoman James, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian, and good morning to your listeners.
And I gather you're calling us from New Orleans. What takes you to the Big Easy?
There's a conference here, an LGBT conference, and they asked me to come to say a few words. And so,
so before we talk about the living wage bill and who's actually covered and paid sick leave, do you have a reaction to the unemployment rate going up in the city?
Well, it's not surprising. Given the economy, the local economy, given the fact that we have laid off a significant number of government workers, and given the fact that Wall Street has since has not recovered from this great recession, so it's not surprising to me at all. And as I travel throughout my district and throughout the city of New York, I see a more and more disappearing middle class, and a number of individuals who are struggling each and every day to make ends meet, which is why I'm so happy that the speaker has announced this compromise as it relates to living wage.
Does it at all make you want to say, okay, Occupy Wall Street, stop, you win. Wall Street is shedding tens of thousands of jobs this year.
No, not at all. I want to applaud Occupy Wall Street because this is an issue. The growing income equality is an issue that I have discussed for a very long time. In fact, almost 4 years ago, the members of the Black, Puerto Rican, and Asian Caucus had a town hall discussion on poverty. It was not picked up by the major media, and it took Occupy Wall Street to bring the issue of income equality from the shadows and from the back rooms to the forefront of our national discussion, and I want to applaud them and urge them to continue.
All right, let's talk about the living wage compromise. And here's the basic sketch, listeners. Companies subsidized by the city in any way would have to pay employees $10 an hour plus benefits. That's instead of the current $7.25 minimum hourly wage. But the compromise only covers direct employees of tax break recipients, not their tenants. In other words, if I'm receiving a city tax break to build a complex, I have to pay my workers at the new rate, the construction workers, the cleaning staff, the mailroom employees, but the shops that move into my complex do not, and the subcontractors that might be hired do not. So are you happy enough with this agreement?
Yeah, it's a good step forward. It's a compromise, as you indicated, but, you know, the campaign continues. And obviously, you know, we did not just get a bill. We signed basically a landmark piece of legislation, which has three parts to it. It's a bill, a framework, and a pilot program that goes further than what any other city in the country has done on living wage for subsidized development. And so the living wage will extend to direct subsidy recipients, as you mentioned, and promote living wage jobs more broadly across all city development projects in the future and cover, you know, retail tenants. And the city will establish a retail living wage initiative that will include a city policy that employment on future subsidized developments that will include retail employees should be paid a living wage. The new pilot program created will include $10 million from the City Council to incentivize living wage retail jobs. And lastly, as I indicated, the campaign will continue. It is a major step forward. And as you know, 15 other cities across the nation have passed similar legislation. And now New York City can be added to that list. And I'm proud to be associated with the bill and proud to be a part of the campaign that moved this bill forward.
A living wage demand was the thing on which the development of the Kingsbridge Armory in the Bronx went down a year or two ago, and it was intended at that time to be a comprehensive bill covering the development but also the shops that moved in. So they'd have to pay their retail workers $10 an hour. Are progressives giving up too much in this compromise by dropping that?
No, I don't think so. Again, I believe this is a landmark piece of legislation, and it sets forward a framework, there is a pilot program, and there is a bill, and obviously we are not stopping here. And some would argue with you that Kingsbridge fell apart for other reasons other than the disagreement over living wage. And as was recently announced, the Bronx Borough President Ruben Diaz and the mayor of the city of New York have agreed to go forward in the development of Kingsbridge.
Do you have any reservations about this? Was it a hard pill to swallow at all? I understand what you're saying. It's a framework for moving forward. It establishes a precedent for a living wage.
Correct.
On a number of projects. But at some point, did you and your other colleagues who had been fighting for a more comprehensive living wage kind of say, I guess this is the best we're going to do?
Listen, clearly there are some individuals as part of the campaign who obviously would have wanted a more comprehensive bill. But politics is about the art of compromise. And so this is a compromise bill. It will cover some employees. It's a landmark. It's a framework going forward. And this is just the beginning of a campaign as we go forward to enact to make sure that there's a more comprehensive bill in the city of New York.
Well, maybe when Council Speaker Christine Quinn becomes mayor, you can revisit this and get her to do a little a little cheeky remark there, because she was fighting for the living wage bill, and I think people see this as basically Christine Quinn's compromise.
I want to thank Speaker Christine Quinn for this piece of legislation. And again, I want to thank her for her leadership, as well as Stuart Applebaum from the Retail Workers Union. And I want to thank all those who are associated with who are being part of history and part of this landmark legislation.
How does this affect your own district, by the way, which includes Atlantic Yards and the new Barclays Center arena for the Nets? I know you've been a longtime critic of that project. How will this bill affect wages at that specific site, if it will?
Well, workers at stadiums and arenas and warehouses, they'll be required to be paid $10 an hour plus $150 per hour for benefits. And obviously it will be adjusted each year to keep pace with the cost of living in New York City. But when the arena is built, individuals will be paid minimum wage. I'm hoping and praying that they'll be paid more, because Forest City Ratner received these subsidies prior to the enactment of this bill.
So you said stadiums as a general category. So that would be true at Yankee Stadium, for example, because they get some kind of subsidy?
Well,
City Field?
They've received, Yankee Stadium had received the subsidies prior to the enactment of this bill. This is prospective. This is going forward.
I see. Let's move on to a couple of other council matters.
Sure.
And my guest is City Council Member Letitia James of Brooklyn. One question each, because
sure,
we're going to run out of time. Your fellow Democrat, Gail Brewer, is pushing a paid sick leave bill.
Correct.
That would provide a minimum of 1 hour of paid sick time for every 30 hours worked by an employee. Speaker Quinn opposes the bill, as does the mayor. She says, in the economic environment we're in, small businesses are hanging on by a thread. I think this bill could cost us jobs and cost us small businesses and their future in these tough economic times. Where do you stand?
So obviously I support the paid sick leave and want to thank the leadership of Councilmember Gail Brewer from the Upper West Side, who is the author of this bill. But the bill has been changed, and it provides more flexibility for business owners, and minimizes the administrative requirements, which was some of the complaints that we heard from the business community. And so Gail Brewer recently put forth 12 amendments to the Paid Sick Leave Act, which would make it more palatable and more, and hopefully would earn the support of Speaker Christine Quinn.
Is the main amendment that it would exempt businesses with less than 5 employees?
That's the main, but there's more. You know, the bill will not apply to businesses with fewer than 5 employees. There are some requirements, less onerous administrative requirements, reporting requirements. There's some changes with respect to accrual time, the size of businesses, how you count on a full-time employees. It includes paid sick leave. Obviously, we'll also take into account when businesses provide to their employees vacation, personal times, et cetera. So it lessens the burden, and it reduces the universe of businesses that would fall under this bill.
And Speaker Quinn is pushing three parking-related changes. Let me get your very quick take on each of these. Freeze late fees on disputed parking tickets until a resolution of the dispute is reached. I don't know any New Yorker who would oppose that. Forbid the Department of Sanitation from putting those gluey, hard-to-peel stickers on cars that violate alternate side parking rules, and granting a 5-minute grace period to parking meter violators. I know the mayor has opposed that in the past because he said, well, if an hour becomes an hour and five under the law, then an hour and five is going to become an hour and 10, and where do you stop? So, first, where are you on the grace period for parking meters?
So, I've supported all of those bills. We recently passed them in the city council. We have enough votes to override any veto from the mayor of the city of New York. And again, I applaud the leadership of the speaker for putting these pieces of legislation, reasonable, common sense pieces of legislation, before the city council for a vote.
Last thing. I know you've spoken about stop and frisk in the past. At a breakfast 2 days ago, Commissioner Kelly announced that the NYPD is developing a kind of infrared technology that will enable police officers to detect whether individuals are carrying guns under their clothing, I guess without actually frisking them. Mm-hmm. Do you know more about this, and is it possible that that would curb the onerous aspects of stop and frisk?
We had discussed this technology some time ago in the Public Safety Committee, but first let me just say that we really need to have more hearings with respect to the stop and frisk practices throughout the city of New York. In addition to that, police accountability, the number of incidents regarding police abuses and just general criminality have increased in the city of New York, and the police are obviously not in a position to police themselves, and obviously their behavior with respect to Occupy Wall Street, as well as the Caribbean Day Parade. We really need to get a handle on NYPD, and we need hearings in the city council, first and foremost. Two, the technology that Police Commissioner Kelly is studying obviously raises some privacy issues. And I don't think this should be used as a means to address the abuses related to stop and frisk. Stop and frisk should not be a preventative tool. It can only be used when there is objective criteria to search anyone and not to search individuals simply because of the color of their skin.
Representing Clinton Hill, Fort Greene, parts of Crown Heights, Prospect Heights, and Bedford-Stuyvesant, City Council Member Letitia James, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up, rebranding teachers. Stay with us and go to our website. This is a Studio 360 project, and Kurt Anderson, as well as a designer, are going to join us in just a minute. But I want you to look at the visuals, especially if you're a teacher or anybody interested in teachers, with respect to how Studio 360 is visually redesigning, rebranding the teacher. Go to our page at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we'll talk about it in a minute.